Today's the third week of our four-week sermon series on the movie The Blind Side. And today I've entitled my message, My Father's House. And Joyce did a great job picking out a couple of those songs that mention the big, big house and other things related to God's house. But I wanted to start out asking a question, which I asked of you this week on the email blast. Do you have a special place in your house? Do you have that special place where you can go to be alone, away from the cell phone, away from the computer screen, away from the television or radio or whatever? Is there that, I call it a prayer closet. Other people call it just a study or a quiet place. Mine is my study in my house. I love kind of going in there. It's got a beautiful view of the woods out in back of our house there. And it's quiet, and I just love being in there. I really go there when I'm, you know, stressed out or need a time to myself. But what about you? Do you have such a place? Well, I got several good responses this week. You're going to like these. I'm just so glad that people responded. One person wrote, I have a comfortable club chair and reading light in my bedroom where I can read the upper room and study the Bible. Another says, my studio is my sanctuary, my place of prayer. Another writes, I have a sunroom where I can look out into the woods and watch the birds and other animals. Another says, when it's warm outdoors, I enjoy sitting in our screened-in porch where I experience the peace and quiet of God's world. My sanctuary is actually my powder room. Yeah. Here's one. My garage is my hideaway. It's just dirty enough, none of the women will stay there very long. I can turn on the Phillies game in peace with my John Wayne poster that's not allowed in the house and have some good quiet time. I love this one. Bethel has become my home, my special place, in so many ways and familiar to me that I feel comfort when I am there. I can't believe it's been 8 years. It's become a big part of my life and my spiritual journey. My sanctuary is my bedroom where I cuddle up on the bed with my Cowboys blanket and snuggle in watching my Phillies or Flyers. Bet you can't guess who that is. My upstairs office has most everything I need. A couch, a desk, computer, TV, stereo, fly tying equipment. My closest fishing rods and reels, my closet for fishing rods and reels. Here's one, the bathtub. The bathtub. And then the one came in late last night. My refuge is the laundry room. I can count on nobody ever going in there to help do anything. Good stuff. We all need a place like that, don't we? Don't we need that getaway place, that special place where when we're scared or when we're frustrated or when we're maybe angry or disappointed or depressed? And as I thought about this week, I wondered, well, doesn't God have a place for us like that? Can't God provide us with a special place? Do we think about that when we're angry or frustrated or lonely? You know, what has God provided for us in that respect? Well, today's scripture verse tells us that God has indeed provided a place for us. This is the third week of our four-week study, as I said. And in the movie The Blind Side, Michael Oher had a pretty rough childhood growing up. Those of you that have seen the movie. He grew up on the west side of Memphis in a place called Hurt Village. Michael was a child, a young person who experienced many, many upheavals, many disappointments, many moves from one foster home to another. A very, very dysfunctional family, and very, very bad things happen in Michael's life that no young person should ever have to deal with. He's taken in by the Toohey family, as you know, and they're rich, and yes, they're white, and they take Michael in to their home. They make room for Michael, which is really saying something because Michael, as we know, is 6'5", 350 pounds, and 16 years old. He just about overwhelms any piece of furniture that the Tuohys have, including their $10,000 sofa. I'm going to ask Todd to run the video. There's a very touching part in this video that I want to share with you that kind of drives the point home that we're trying to make today. Go ahead, Todd.
Chest of drawers. You have a nightstand, a light, an alarm. Oh, and Sean says all the pro athletes use futons if they can't find a bed big enough, so I got you one of those. Of course, the frame was heinous. It's not about to let that in my house, but I got you something nicer.
It's mine?
Yes, sir. What?
Never had one before.
What, a room to yourself?
A bed.
Well, you have one now.
Never had one before. A little bit earlier in the story, in the movie, Leanne asks Michael a question. Do you want to stay here? And Michael says, I don't want to go anywhere else. Isn't that a great definition of home? Home is a place where we are comfortable, where we are welcome, where we are familiar. So much so that sometimes we don't even want to go anywhere else. I'm grateful that you, the people of Bethel, give Pat and I 4 weeks vacation to get away. But what we've done lately is take what's called staycations. You all know what staycations are. They've come about as a result of the economy, basically. It's where people just stay home. They stay close to home. Instead of going off and spending thousands of dollars, hundreds of dollars on vacation, they stay home. And being in our new home in Milton, we love just staying home on some of our vacation time. Yes, we still get away. Yes, we still love to go away, but probably half of our vacation time is a staycation. Because we love our home, because we love the comfort of our home, and we just want to enjoy it. And it's a lot cheaper. This touching scene that we just saw with Leanne and Michael reminds us of what Jesus promises his disciples. You see, it's the night before Jesus' betrayal and arrest. It's the night that Jesus transformed the Passover meal into the Lord's Supper. They're sitting around the table. Jesus, of course, has washed his disciples' feet. They've enjoyed the Passover meal. But Jesus senses that his disciples are nervous. He senses that they're troubled because Jesus has been talking about going away. He's going to be leaving them. And so, sensing that, he spends the next three chapters, actually, in John 14 through 17, giving them comfort, giving them words of encouragement. And today I just want to touch on one scripture, one part of that scripture from John chapter 14, that are Jesus' words not only to his disciples, but to us as his 21st century disciples as well. Listen to what Jesus says. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has plenty of room. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you've seen the movie, The Blind Side, you know that the Tuohys live in a beautiful mansion. I couldn't find a picture of the actual mansion, but I think this one probably is closest. A mansion that's got many rooms, even for Big Mike. But the interesting thing about this story is that they don't keep this big house, this place to themselves. They make room for another. A young man who has not seen much love, who has not experienced much grace in his life. But I believe that Michael has experienced, has tasted, has seen the love of God through these very special people. They give him a room with lots of space and lots of comfort and lots of love. And my sense is that mansion, that room with many, that house with many rooms that Jesus is talking about, is that special place that God offers us with lots of space, lots of comfort, lots of room. A place where we can stretch out. A place where we can be at peace and enjoy the glory and the presence of God. Not only in the hereafter, but even now. So I ask you again, where's your special place? Where do you feel the most at home, the most secure, the most comfortable? Where do we go when the alarms, the life troubles go? Where do we go in times of storm and turmoil and trouble? Jesus offers us just such a place. But it's not a physical building. It's not a location. It's not a tangible place you can walk in and walk out of like your home. It is not made with human hands, but eternal in the heavens. Jesus offers his disciples, which is you and I, a promise. He gives us his promise, the promise of a mansion with many rooms, a place where we can go now and not just after we die. What Jesus is offering to us and to the world is, quite frankly, a relationship. A relationship. That's the mansion, that's the home that with many rooms that Jesus is offering us, where we can take refuge in him, where we can be safe in him, no matter what happens to us in this life or the next, because Jesus is with us. Jesus will be there for us. This is the good news. This is the good news of the gospel, that God has provided for us not only in the hereafter, but in the here. That God has given us an opportunity to be in relationship with his only Son, Jesus Christ. But you know, there's a lot of folks out there that aren't walking with Jesus. There's a lot of people in the world who are lost. Why do you think there's so much trouble in the world, in our communities, in our families? Because people don't know the Lord. We've heard the good news. I try to preach the good news every Sunday. And I hope you read about the good news in your Bible readings and in your devotions and whatnot. But you know, there are people who have still not heard. Why should we keep this good news to ourselves? If you had the cure for the common cold, wouldn't you want to share that with someone? If you had the cure for cancer, wouldn't you want to share that with someone? We've got good news also. The Tuohys share their home with another. What if we made room in our lives for others? What if we made room for those without hope? What if we made room in our lives for those who are not walking with Jesus, who do not know the love of God? Let me ask you a very important question. Who have you made room for in your journey of faith? Who have you reached out to share the good news that God loves them, that God loves every single person on the face of the earth, that God cares for them? Who have you befriended lately and shared with them the good news of God's love? Who have you invited to church lately? You all have friends, as I do. You all have family members, as I do. You all have people that you work with, like I do, that are not walking with the Lord, that need hope, that need the good news, that need a good word from God. Who have we made room for in our lives and simply invited them to come and see the goodness of our God? That is the challenge I think that all of us face, is reaching out to friends and relatives, associates and neighbors, to welcome them into a relationship. We don't have to beat them over the head with a Bible. We don't have to preach to them. Just show them that you care. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You got that? They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Someone who's hurting, someone who's going through a rough time, maybe. Jesus has made room in his heavenly home for all of us. And today, we're reminded at this table that Jesus has made room at the table for all. For all of those who love him. For all of those who earnestly repent of their sin. For all of those who want to know him, who want to grow in him, who want to share the love of God. Jesus wants us all to come to him, to come to the table, to taste and see that the Lord is good, and that there's plenty of room. There's plenty of room in that relationship with Jesus, and plenty of bread for our journey. In just a moment, we're going to come to the table. We're going to invite you to partake of this holy meal, that we may be empowered and strengthened and nourished to go and share the good news of the gospel, like Seth and Janet and Elizabeth will be doing, sharing the love of Christ, like so many others go into the mission field, like so many others that reach out to the least, the last, and the lost, and to the Michael Owers of this world.